Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Explore the world's hidden wonders on the Atlas Obscura podcast. A village in India where everyone's name is a song. A boiling river in the Amazon. A spacecraft cemetery in the middle of the ocean. Every day, the Atlas Obscura podcast will blow your mind in 15 minutes. You can find it on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow the show so you never miss an episode.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
And this is Love to See It, an obsessively detailed recap podcast about The Bachelor and other pop culture that makes us laugh, cry, and curse the patriarchy.
We can't live with these shows and we can't live without them, but we can break down every juicy moment and unpack all the weird messages these shows send us about love, sex, and dating.
Hello, and welcome to Love to See It with Emma and Claire, a podcast about bro tears and bromance.
Right. They're just the two pillars of healthy masculinity, emotional vulnerability, and deep platonic friendship.
This week on The Bachelorette, it was men tell all time, and we were blessed with so much of both of those things. Plus, of course, some really aggressive confrontations, a surprise French kiss, and a gut-wrenching, unexpected departure.
A lot to dig into, but joining us for this episode is actor and Bachelor parody recapper Kelly Johns. Kelly, it's such an honor to have you on the show. We love a new guest.
Thanks for having me. And like I said, I've been listening to you both for years, so it's an honor to be here.
This episode was a pretty low-key men tell all, I would say, in the scheme of things.
Thankfully, there was not so much just rampant screaming over each other.
Right. It almost felt like they had to fill the time with other stuff.
Yeah. They were like, can someone please go up there and kiss Connor? Like, we got to have something.
That was epic.
But the episode may be like a men tell all entree, but there was a large appetizer of unexpected departure. We open with Katie walking with Tayshia through the woods and just having a heart to heart about her final four. She's like, I didn't know how deeply I cared for Andrew until I left him with his heart ripped out, you know, bleeding on the pavement. And now I realize that I care for him, but I have to look ahead. And I feel so confident about this final four. She says, you know, I haven't admitted to any of the men yet that I'm in love, although I am falling in love. And she says, I just want to have that to give to my fiance at the end, that I only said that to them.
I liked that. I feel like most of the leads used to do that. And then recently people have been kind of saying it to more than one person. And I found it interesting that Tayshia basically like encouraged her to say it to more than one person.
Didn't you feel like she was sort of like putting on her producer hat and she was like, I'm laying the groundwork to stir the future shit. Katie, just do it. Just tell everyone you love them.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because... because what Tayshia is basically saying is you should bait the guys into commitment by telling them that you're probably going to pick that. Like by giving them reason to believe that they're the one, they're going to feel comfortable enough to show their soft romantic underbelly to you. And that's when you can strike, you know? And Tayshia, I think, feels like this worked out for her, right? She and Zach, she says, didn't have the strongest relationship early on. Then she met his family. It changed everything. But she seems to kind of be saying, like, you need to do what you can to make this each relationship into the strongest it could be, instead of just, like, leaning on the strongest one and protecting it until the end, which I think is another strategy leads sometimes use.
I just, this made me very nervous for Katie's future. I was like, some shit is going to go very wrong.
This is such strong foreshadowing. I was like, we would not be seeing this if it were not for what's about to happen. Because Tayshia's like, don't leave anything unsaid that might get a guy to be all in with you. And what do we see next?
We see Michael come in. Well, we see him FaceTiming his son. And I think we all cried.
Oh my goodness. Kelly, do you have a Michael impression that you'd like to share?
Oh gosh, I feel like I can't even touch on that because it's so heartbreaking. You know, like I try to only make fun of things that are just goofy. And like when really serious things come up, I just don't touch them. And this is like the most heartbreaking thing we've ever seen. And especially, you know, the line with his kid saying, I think daddy just doesn't want to see me anymore. I mean, we all just die. And then when he hugs, when Michael gets up and hugs the crew member, that just got me too. Cause it's like, this is so much bigger than a show. Like even the production crew is feeling for him and is there for him.
That was just like sob central. I mean,
yeah. I have difficulty even talking about it. It's so sad. And it's intercut with Katie saying, you know, I'm nervous to be Michael's parents because I really want their approval as like basically a future mother for their grandkid. And I would be an instant mom if I end up with Michael. I'm excited by that. Like she's really confident about their future. And meanwhile, Michael is FaceTiming with his son, James, who is 4 years old. And he's saying, you know, I miss you, daddy. And Michael's saying, I miss you too. When we get home, we'll go on vacation for a whole week and we'll spend lots of time together. And James is like, well, why aren't you here now? And Michael tells him it's a work trip. And James says, I have an idea. Maybe daddy left because he don't want to see me. And you see Michael kind of prevent himself from crying in that moment. He says, what? That's crazy. I can't even imagine what he was feeling in that moment. Like, the amount of time before he would theoretically see his son again if he kept going through the process and be able to actually be with his son. And meanwhile, his son is starting to like construct, as kids do, like a narrative of how he's to blame for his father's absence after everything that James has already gone through. It's just so, so upsetting. And like, I personally, like, we're trying to wean my son a little bit right now. And when I hear him like banging on the door in the morning, being like, and he can say this now, booby, booby, booby. it's very difficult for me to not immediately go to him. You're like, he needs something from me. I have to go. And Michael, like, oh, it's so sad. He's clearly struggling to hold it together through the phone call so that he doesn't upset James anymore. And then he kind of loses it.
It also just made me think about what a tough position the single parents always kind of are in on the show. Like he even says, you know, I feel really guilty. I feel selfish. Like he's basically like I prioritized myself and my own desire to like learn how to put myself out there again. And I'm harming my son by prioritizing my own happiness. And that is like so gut-wrenching, and I think probably something that single parents face in general, trying to sort of rebuild. I would imagine, especially after going through a loss of a partner in the way that Michael did. It was just,
yeah,
as you said, Kelly, like, you can't even make fun of it. It's like, no, just, yeah, it's so devastating.
We did want you to try, but we really respect.
We were trying to bait you into it, but fine. You're very kind.
So Michael goes to see Katie and she opens the door really in a quite different emotional register. She's very giddy to see him. She's like bubbly. And Michael is like
dead faced
in a state of trauma at this point. She does pick up on that pretty quickly as they sit down. And he sits down and says like, this is such an important week. I had a really good feeling about going through this with you, and I was right. We've had this incredible time together, but something happened, which is that my son asked me why I didn't want to see him anymore. Oh, no, I'm crying.
Oh, no.
Oh, like, no.
This is going to be a difficult episode for us to get through.
And he's like, I can't focus on our journey anymore. I have to leave because my son needs his dad.
He's, oh, God.
Did you guys hear he said, my beautiful boy?
Yes. I was about to call that out. That is where I really like lost it.
I actually had to rewind because I couldn't. I was like, what did he say about his boy? And then I heard him say beautiful boy. And I was like, oh, just so precious and sad.
Yeah. He's like, he calls his son like a beautiful boy, like more than once in this episode. It's so sweet. Tell boys they're beautiful, you know? I love that.
I love that too.
I tell my husband he's beautiful. Obviously, that's different. He's a 30-year-old man.
But no, I don't know. Like, he needs to hear it too. Okay. Yeah. Normalize calling all male creatures beautiful. Okay?
Right.
Yeah. And I want bring back handsome for women. You know, it's like more compliments for everyone. In my opinion. And so Katie now is crying too, and she says, "I saw us going to the end," which makes this very confusing.
And were you surprised by that?
I was so surprised.
Really?
I wasn't super surprised he made top four, kind of, though. I thought he was either going to leave earlier for his son, or I feel like we didn't see all the sides to him that we saw last night. Like, we finally saw with some of the bloopers that he has these funny sides that aren't just, like, dorky funny, if that makes sense.
Oh, like, he's totally wry. He has, like, a really sharp sense of humor.
Exactly.
And he can deadpan. Yeah, I think that's such a good point. But
yeah,
I don't know. I thought he would go. I also thought he was going to self-eliminate at some point, but I thought he was going to do it earlier. Mm-hmm. And then I thought he'd make it to, like, final two or three.
Yeah. I was sort of ambivalent about how far he would make it. I feel like parents typically don't make it to the end.
Right.
I feel like a lot of leads, you know, are sort of like, do I really want to be a step parent? Or like, I have all these other options. And at the same time, you know, Michael doesn't have the kind of beefcake quality that I think often makes for a front runner on this show. So you look at him, you're like, he's got more of like a normal guy look. He's got a kid. Like, that's not a recipe for going to the end. But the longer he stayed, the more I was like, Katie is really into him. Like, it's
really
not
into him.
It's not like a be nice to the grieving widow thing, or like a I like him well enough, even if he's not in my top handful of contenders thing. She was really into
him.
She
was into it. She was very into it. Also, and it just speaks to the fact that Katie, in general, like, her type is just so different from the normal Bachelor type, which is, frankly, like, making the season really enjoyable, because the guys that sort of become major characters are all, like, pretty weird and nice.
Yeah, and so different. Her top four, well, three now that Michael's gone, they're so different. Like, like Justin, we haven't seen a whole lot of him, but I feel like he's very different from, like, a Greg. And then Blake is so different from, like, Michael.
Yeah.
So it's like, does she even have a type? It doesn't seem like it, which is cool. I like to see that.
So poor Katie is really devastated by this. And as she's kind of weeping, Michael brings out the watch that he tried to give her night one. He says, I kept it. You didn't have pockets. He gives it to her again. And he says, all we talk about here is time and love. I thought love would be the harder one to obtain, and it wasn't. We ran out of time. I can't help but wish that we had more in a different world or a different circumstance, because I do think it would have worked. He should write rom-coms.
Yeah. I know. He's really, I was impressed. I was like, for all of the terrible, terrible poetry we hear on this show, I was like, this man can craft a speech.
I was disturbed by how many times I wanted to write, he's so articulate.
The bar is, like, so low on the show.
It really is.
He said something other than, you're so amazing. He had a complete thought, and he articulated it in a clear way.
And it went perfectly with the item he was giving her. It's like, it was just...
It was very... He's so just a perfect. Very thoughtful person. He's clearly smart.
He's
a storyteller.
He's like, I have to link the narrative together with certain themes and artifacts and characters and their callbacks and different resonances. It's not like that complex, but at the same time, you're like, that is like kind of a genuine insight about what happened.
Yeah.
And like the situation they're in. And it's not like deeply profound, but it's like kind of profound.
I'm just saying, on the scale of Bachelor and Bachelorette profundity, it's up there.
Did y'all think at all when she said, you know, I saw you at the end of this? Sometimes I'm like, okay, then leave with him. And I know that's kind of not an option, but it kind of is. It's like, if she really thought he was the one, she could have technically said, I'm done, right?
Right. Well, I think what she says, like, she obviously doesn't think he's the one, right?
Yeah. That's
I think what she thinks, what she's saying is, you are someone that I am still actively considering as being the one, but there are other people I'm also actively considering as being the one. She's saying, like, I saw a very real likelihood that you would be the final selection, but she's not saying, right? Like, she's not saying it was going to be us or I was going to pick you.
Yeah.
So then she's down to like, is it inaccurate to say I saw you at the end when what she's saying now is, but I'm choosing to continue pursuing these three other alternatives.
Right. That's where I think it's confusing for him, maybe, was the wording she used of like, I saw you and I at the end of this. And she later says, I saw a life with James and I wanted that life. It seemed like very concrete in her head. Mm. And then later when he said he would still give it a shot with her, and then basically she's like, well, no, like that just felt weird.
Right. Well, at that point, she's definitely engaged to someone else, right?
Yeah, when and has spent filmed. Months with them in the
and
interim,
he doesn't
right?
know that. But no, it's true. And I think we are getting hints that this might happen more, that she's holding back the I love you to make her ultimate fiancé feel like more special. But she is saying very specific, concrete things to guys that might feel like a hint to them. Like, if she keeps saying, like, I see a future with you, we will figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. You know, she which said is that what to Andrew, too.
She said to Andrew, she said to Michael. And what she's saying is, like, as long as the doors to this relationship are open, I don't see that as an impediment. Like, if we end up together, you know, I wouldn't break up with you because you live in Ohio and have a son. But it sounds kind of like she's saying, like, we're going to figure it out. Like, wink, wink, nudge, right. nudge. And then the guy's like, oh, I'm the one. But, yeah.
Unfortunately, this is a process, and she's going to see it through. So,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of like it is what it is. But I think overall, Katie handled this rejection pretty well. Like, she sort of gathers herself and she says, you know, I get it. You're a good dad. And as much as I want to be selfish and I want to beg you to stay, I know it's not an option. I support you going home to James.
Like, yeah. I mean, what else can you say?
What else can you say?
She said the right thing. He says, you taught me how to love again. I just wept through this. And I rewatched some of it to prepare for this. And I wept that time. I wept when it was shown at the beginning of his hot seat appearance on Men Tell All. Many tears were shed in this household over Michael. They embrace, they kiss, she walks him out, and she says, yeah, I knew what our life would have been, and it was the life I wanted. His decision is the best for his family, but in this moment, it fucking hurts. In this moment, I'm mad and sad. It's very possible that my person just left.
I appreciated that she acknowledged that she was sad and angry, because I think that there is like such a pressure to sort of perform perfectly in these breakups and be so generous. And we've seen like so much generosity from the men who, when they are rejected by Katie, but like in reality, like you're gonna be upset and you're gonna be pissed if you really care about someone. Like, it sucks to have someone that you thought could be a potential partner be like, I have to tap out. And even if you understand the reasons that's happening, I think it's like very human to be angry and sad about it.
Yeah. I like that she said that she was mad, because you're like, oh, well, don't be mad. You know, it's his son. But I think she's just pissed at like the situation. Like, right. This sucks. It sucks that this guy is so amazing and like it had to happen this way. And
she's sending James nasty DMs right now. She's
like, that's what we're saying. Definitely.
He ruined everything. So that's goodbye to Michael. And, you know, at one moment or another in this, I found myself thinking, like, was he kind of hoping that she would be like, stay because I'm going to choose you and then we'll be a family and like, you know, it'll be worth it for James and for you. And I know it'll be hard. I also thought it could have gone that direction. But if you're not sure that you're going to pick him at that point, you have to let him go. You can't be like, no, stay, leave your son to grow alienated from you. And so no one really has much choice in this scenario. And we head on to Men Tell All.
But before we get into that, I think it's time to take a quick break. Can you keep up? I like, love it. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy, because of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all, like, weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. Our big console, Article. My bed frame, Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
And we're back for the Men Tell All, hosted by Tayshia and Caitlin.
Oh my God. They looked incredible. They looked so good.
So hot.
So good.
I also adore that the stylist dresses them in like coordinated colors. It just really works for me.
Caitlin is in sequins. Tayshia's in like a leather one shoulder dress. And I enjoyed their hosting. What did you guys think of having a duo hosting Men Tell All?
I thought it worked well. Like, I thought they were able to kind of play to their strengths and play off of each other. So you got that sort of banter, and there were no kind of, we didn't see any sort of like really awkward silences. And I just like the dynamic of three women up there chit-chatting about relationships. Like, it just, once Katie came up and then the two of them sort of being able to banter with the men. Like, I thought that it worked and it felt much less stilted than it has with Chris Harrison, and much more like a bunch of peers kind of gossiping together.
I liked it too because they're around the same age, whereas right. like Chris can't relate as much. And although, you know, he was there for so many years and he knew all the vibes of the show, but like Tayshia and Caitlin actually having gone through it themselves and then again being kind of the same age as everyone around them, it just felt more natural. And like easygoing conversations.
I was also very grateful that we didn't have to sit through Chris Harrison asking Andrew about interracial dating. So this is just one of many small blessings that we were awarded during this episode.
Yeah, there were several points during the hot seat talks where I was like, I'm really glad that this was not Chris Harrison. they introduced the dudes.
And joke about how much they love man tears. And I was like, have they been listening to the podcast?
They are trying to take our places, I think.
It's actually so rude.
They're announcing themselves as rivals.
I'm just saying, we have been pushing the pro man tears agenda for many years.
Yeah. I'm really proud of us. We've made it mainstream. So the guys who are there, it's a pretty small group, Courtney, Cody, Carl, Trey, Brendan, James, Kyle.
Literally, who is Kyle? Who the fuck is Kyle?
Aaron, Connor B., Hunter, Andrew S., and Michael. So a couple notable absences, Mike P. and Thomas. Anyone else who like should have been there?
There was that businessman looking guy, Andrew, that they showed in the bloopers that I remember.
Oh, and he's really cute, but he never got any screen time.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like such a notable absence, but like I would have appreciated him over Kyle, certainly.
Right. Kyle. Yeah.
How are the guys looking? What did you guys think? A couple notable changes. Michael now has a very neat little beard.
Extremely into it.
Love
I thought
it.
He looked hot.
So hot. So hot. It's crazy what a beard can do.
Yeah, it really elevated the look, frankly.
I'm not so sure about Michael's beard. I thought he was cute without it.
What? Oh, Claire?
I don't know.
Oh, no. Disagree. I loved it. I thought it was great.
He looked younger without it. Like, he looks like manly now.
Yeah,
like,
I'm into it.
I also really... I like a boyish look. A boyish 36-year-old.
Makes sense.
Much like my own husband.
I mean,
Harry agrees with me.
Okay, well, great for you, okay? Great for the two of you.
I love to every now and then win his allyship in these arguments.
Harry's just trying to push his own recently shaved beard. This is like a pro Harry agenda.
He's got the zeal of a convert against beards.
Exactly. I mean, Harry, I thought your beard also looked good. Okay.
we'll post some pictures for everyone to weigh in on. I also wanted to note that Hunter has combed down his sort of hair spikes, which is the kind of change that always makes me wonder, like, did you get some feedback based on?
He absolutely got some feedback about his hair.
Like, because people even on the show, all the comments about, like, him being, like, a squirrel or a gremlin, I wonder if there was some reference to his hair situation.
I was worried I feel that he may have gone a little too far in the other direction. Like, it was a little too, like, helmet hair.
Yes, yes. It's like, just do it normal. Just do it, like, swoop to the side.
Moderate volume.
Right. Some volume, but who wants it down? It was, like, almost flat on the forehead.
Yeah, it was flattened to the forehead.
My first thought was that, like, his hair just has, like, a very stiff, springy texture. And, like, it doesn't naturally lie down, so he had to really... I don't know. I need more answers on how this came to be.
I thought the best outfit was probably Trey. Like, he just has consistently good style, and
he's the only one who stood out. They all looked pretty.
They were very boring except for Trey.
Yeah, he had like a white dinner jacket on, right?
Yeah, I was into it.
And so we dive into the drama. Of course, we start by revisiting the reign of terror of the Wrong Reasons Police. You know, a whole cascading saga of investigations and arrests and, you know, interrogations. But we start with, Aaron, why don't you like Cody? What happened to make you not like Cody? Remember this? This was night one drama.
Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, they really just banded together to kick out so many men. It was dizzying to revisit all of it. But I felt that Aaron, yet again, did not make his case very well. He was like, Cody did one social media post that I found offensive because he said he was gonna be famous in 6 months. I was like, that's the entirety of your body of evidence. Like, you've had months to prepare. And your only argument was that he made a, quote, reckless social media reckless post.
I loved that word to describe it. Like, it was like, you know, like, anyone could do it. You just got to be a little bit more careful about it. You know what I mean?
He just swerved
off the road into this this Instagram post about being famous in 6 months.
Also, when they showed the flashback and Cody's like, well, no one would know that we know each other if you just keep your mouth shut. But like, also, why is it such a huge deal if they do know each other? Why don't we ever talk about like Aaron kind of being like one of the villains of the season? He's just always pissed at everyone.
It's really surprising to me that he hasn't become more of a villain. And I think it's maybe because the show didn't very, very explicitly frame him as one. And there are ways that they could do that by centering his behavior more and using music cues and showing other guys questioning his tactics more in the moments. But
they didn't.
I'm surprised that more viewers aren't like, Aaron is acting like really unhinged. Like,
yeah,
it's suspicious that he's always trying to get someone kicked out. It's suspicious. I'm sorry.
It is. I agree. But all the other men seem to really like Aaron, which frankly is probably what helps him most.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Carl, though, is there to take a stand against the witch hunts.
Oh my God.
Of this house. I could not stand that they started invoking witch hunt and fake news conversation.
God. Was fake news. At one point, he was saying to Carl, like, well, you know what? You're fake news, and that's fake news, and everything you say is just fake news. Someone asks you a question, it's fake news. And I was like, Brendan, you can't just say fake news 17 times in lieu of anything more specific.
Like, I thought, like, Trump is no longer in office. We don't have to invoke his language. Can we stop?
It's so dated. It's like, it doesn't mean anything anymore. But yeah, Carl is at this point trying to, you know, create a little bit of a brotherhood between him and Cody so that he's got some sort of ally in this.
He's looking around and he's like, he's my only option.
He's like, look at what happened to Cody. Like, everything just became a witch hunt in the house. Whenever you guys got a chance, it was like, oh, who is it? Cody? Let's all go after Cody. Brendan, you don't even know Cody. You're just jumping on the bandwagon, which is kind of true. Yeah. But then Aaron starts being like, so you're wrong already, bro. You're wrong already. It was just me and Cody, the two of us. No one was ganging up on
Come on, bro.
Then they end up litigating the Carl situation. Of course, Carl has invited this, but it was inevitable. And Brendan says, you know, you weren't like just ganged up on. I heard you say that you were going to drop a bomb on all the guys. And then you did by talking to Katie. You knew that, you know, your time in the house was up. And so you just ruined the night for everyone. And Carl's like, okay, so I had the conversation with her. I let her know I didn't think Cody was the only one there for the wrong reasons. So much for that alliance. And then they're like, okay, so like, what information did you have that we didn't? Like, are you going to say like, oh, I thought it was Thomas the whole time? And Carl says, of course I fucking thought it was Thomas.
I don't believe him.
I don't believe that he thought it was anyone.
He didn't think it was anyone. He was shit stirring. It was very clear. He said nothing specific. And then he like said it was like possibly five men. Like, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah. And that's when Trey calls him out. He's like, you just said, of course it was Thomas, but then you said it was multiple men. Which one is it? Like, you make no sense.
Right.
Carl has no good answer.
I'm waiting to see if any other wrong reasons men are revealed publicly before I speak further on this.
Carl is just like, you know what, Brendan? You know what? And then he pauses and he's just like, shut the fuck up. Oh, like, okay, good one.
Zing. Like, yeah, he and Brendan have a lot of back and forth.
I will say, Carl, he responded to my video of me making fun of him. And so I was like, okay. And he was so nice and complimentary. And so, you know, I have some bias. I don't hate Carl. I think he's
nice.
He
has a sense of humor is what you're saying. Yes, he can take some ribbing on himself. That is a good quality.
And how much of it do y'all think is like, Hunter said later, is this situation sometimes just makes people do really stupid things and isn't necessarily an indicator of them being a bad person, but like they just get caught up in the cameras and the producers and like do some really stupid shit like Carl. So what do y'all think? Do you think it's just he just was being dumb?
I mean, I think that's probably part of it. Like everyone is always sort of pushed to indulge perhaps their worse instincts. And yet Carl is just, I'm sorry, he's like obnoxious.
Yeah.
And even in the middle of the men tell all, I was so scared. I felt like he was on the verge of involving the audience in like a motivational speech. He was like, I'm going to stand up. He's like, hey,
I can't with the motivation.
I made mistakes. Don't we all? Don't you make mistakes?
Yeah.
Say it with me. Don't we all make mistakes?
Here's what he reminded me of in that moment though, is when I was in like seventh grade, I joined the middle school basketball team and I loved practice. You know, we would do practice jump shots and layups and like dribble drills and stuff. And then we'd get to the game and I would go into the game. And every time I tried to take a nice jump shot, someone would just like block it, you know, or I'd be trying to like dribble and someone would steal the ball.
How dare
And I was like, how am I supposed to do my cool dribbles and jump shots with people trying to stop me? And here's the thing, Carl's trying to give a motivational speech on stage with like 11 other men who just want him to shut the fuck up. So he's standing up and he's like, don't we all make mistakes? And they're like, shut up, Carl, sit down, Carl. Why are you standing up, Carl? And so his efforts were fruitless. And Emma, I'm sure you appreciated them all in that moment as the roses won to block his motivational shot, as it were.
I mean, look,
it's like you can't give a motivational speech if everyone there is just trying to shout you down.
They are not here. Yeah, exactly. That's sort of key.
So I want to mention something that Trey says in the course of this conversation, which is that people say, and this starts to come up as the conversation is naturally shifting towards Thomas, which is that people have been saying, and I'm certainly guilty of this, that every guy on the show thinks about being the bachelor. And he says, it's dead ass not true. All I thought about was getting one rose to try to show a great woman I could be the right guy for her. Thinking about being the bachelor night one is nuts. Now, I have a few thoughts about this. First of all being, if you do want to be the Bachelor, Trey is saying all the right things. That is exactly what you should say if you are thinking very hard about being the Bachelor. Secondly, I think it's true probably that several guys go on the show not even thinking about it because it seems so distant. But I think definitely more than Thomas had thought about it as something that might happen that would be cool.
Like, right. Come on. I don't think that the point people are trying to make is that, like, every person consciously goes into the show with, like, the thought that their ultimate goal is to be the Bachelor. But, like, that everyone is collectively aware that the path to being the lead includes going on a season. And right. everyone is aware that that could be an ultimate outcome, even if it's not even something that the person actively desires. Like, they, and yeah. their question to Thomas wasn't, do you want to be the Bachelor? And that's the number one reason you came on Katie's season. The question was, has that thought ever crossed your mind? And he said, yes, it has crossed my mind. Like, that is not a crazy thing to admit.
Right. Nothing he said was ever insane. Like, I didn't, he kind of made me cringe a lot with the shit he'd say to Katie.
Like, not a fan.
Not a fan at all. And I think he was totally just like taking things out of a book on how to be romantic and trying to swoon Katie. But like, when they asked him that, his answer was 100% like, I would say that if I were a contestant on The Bachelor, yeah, there is a possibility that I don't fall in love with the guy and I become the Bachelorette one day.
To say that it's nuts to have that thought in your head, to me, doesn't track, because becoming the next lead is almost as likely, actually maybe more likely than ending up in a happy, long-term committed relationship with the lead of the season you're going on. So you're saying that you're going in with one outcome, front of mind, your only goal, and you think it's not only possible, but probable. And then the other outcome, possibly even more likely, you would never think about, because it's so, like, who could think of such a thing? It's so out of the realm of possibility. Like, that's just not how human logic works. Like, you know it's a possible outcome. Of course you've thought about it. It makes me crazy that this became such a central plot line. It's too much breaking of the fourth wall in this season. Like, all of the, what are the men really thinking about why they went on the show? It's just like, it's not real. Tayshia then brings up that James and Hunter had some beef. She says, James, you called Hunter Thomas 2.0. And Hunter helps out by saying, actually, he said Thomas 1.5. He's like, don't forget the burn on my height.
Yeah, I was like, Hunter, this is like really a self-own. Like, why are you doing this? Like, just setting him up to insult you publicly again.
Yeah. And James explains this as saying, yes, Hunter is Thomas 1.5, half the size, twice the asshole.
That's not even a good...
No.
It's not even a good insult.
As we all know, when version 1.5 comes out, it's smaller, but has more asshole. And it's true with phones, and it's also true...
Yeah, look, that's what I look for in my iOS updates. So it is what it is.
Yeah. And he says, well, you know, at least Thomas was honest, which I thought the whole point was that he wasn't honest.
Yeah, they don't make any sense.
They don't make sense. They're like, remember when Thomas lied about how he had been telling Katie he was falling in love with her? The lying was really the bad part, except that he wasn't lying. Not like Hunter, who lied.
They're claiming that Hunter lied about saying he wasn't in love with her and then telling he's in love with her. But as he points out, especially in the Bachelor world, there's a huge difference between falling in love and being in love. And was it Shay who asked Hunter? One of the drag queens, either Shay Coulee or Monet Exchange, asked him, are you in love with Katie? And he said, I don't think that I can say that right now. And then later said, I'm falling in love. Perfectly acceptable.
Absolutely. I agree.
Still freaking out about it. Why do they care so much?
As the guys just own that you got this one wrong. It is in the rule book of The Bachelorette that these are very different stages of feeling.
And this is the thing more than anything that shows that Hunter is a student of the show and that the other men are just jocks that they recruited to put on TV. That they're all like, oh, falling in love and being in love is the same thing. And Hunter's like, I'm sorry, have you watched a single season of this show? Like, there are different categories of feeling. I feel sad for you if you don't know about that. And then the men start being, they start to see that maybe they were wrong, but they cannot.
They cannot accept it. No.
Trey's like, well, you should have clarified it. Like, you should have told us. Like, what? No, yeah. He doesn't owe you anything. He said what he said, and there was nothing wrong with it.
He basically is like, well, I think that when the queen asked you if you were in love, you should have said, I can't say that yet, but I am falling in love.
Right.
It's like, yeah, he should have been laying the groundwork for his future, like, unexpected onstage revelation in that moment. Like, yes, that makes sense. Thank you, Trey, for that insight.
Sweet, sweet Connor B just, like, swoops in and uses some of his social capital to kindly defend his roommate's honor, his roommate being Hunter. And I like that. We got to see Connor get a little feisty, like, James is like, well, everyone's entitled to their opinion. And Connor just says, and yours is wrong.
Love
which
that.
Is probably the yeah. most aggressive thing we've ever seen Connor
they
say.
They have a little back and forth, too. Like, James is like, no, well, I can say, and Connor's like, yeah, but you're wrong, though. I love you, bro, but you're wrong. And, like, basically what Connor B says is, Hunter was falling in love with Katie. I could see that. And if he's not going to say it, I will. Which Hunter did actually say it a bunch of times, but no one's going to take
stands.
It from him. Yeah.
And that brings us to Connor, who gets to jump into the hot seat and be questioned about his kissing abilities. He yeah. apparently was so mortified by what happened on the show that he, like, texted his ex-girlfriends to make sure he wasn't, like, a trash kisser for the last decade of his life, just, like, and didn't know.
This was, like, the second most heartbreaking moment.
Yeah, it's kisses are all about establishing chemistry. I think that's kind of mm-hmm. why people do it. And some people might be objectively bad at it, but I think a lot of it is just finding the right fit. And that's what his very sweet ex tells him. And as he's kind of describing this very sad survey that he took, this very indie-looking brunette beauty with curtain bangs stands in the audience and says, Connor, I watched you on the show. You're absolutely adorable. And I know you can't be a bad kisser. Adorable people can't be bad at kissing.
No.
That's just science. And then Andrew shouts, let's find out. And so she comes down and they just, like, make out.
How do you
stage.
Think this happened? Like, what were the behind the scenes?
It's I mean, so they, baffling.
Yeah,
to me.
Production loves to create moments like this, but I wonder, like, how much did this woman come in and be like, I have an idea? Were they, like, actively seeking someone out to do this?
We need someone to come questions. Kiss Connor. My thought was that, like, she stands up and starts speaking with that confidence. I think that she's not going to get tackled. That made me think, like, she got in touch with production.
Oh, yeah.
And that she wanted to do it. Connor, I don't think, knew. But the result is this very kind of, like, stagey feeling thing on both sides. I think maybe on his end, it's just because he's very conscious that he's kind of, like, performing the role of, like, guy who's being surprised with, like, a hot love interest on stage. And so he's saying, like, oh, like, I want your number and stuff, which is, like, not a natural moment to ask for a phone number. And, like, kissing her very aggressively.
And he pointed out, too, he said, like, I saw you over there. And she's like, I saw you checking me out. And as if, like, this was fate and that she just decided to stand up out of nowhere. But, like, someone either asked her to do that or, like you said, she had that planned coming in and got it approved. I'm just curious how that process worked.
She says that the kiss was an 11 out of 10 in terms of hotness.
And Connor is like, but before the camera stopped rolling, I would like to make out with this woman on live television once more.
For the road, he said.
For the road.
And Andrew is shouting, "You're a tiger! You're a tiger!" I loved. What a hype,
I just
man.
Appreciated all of the hype.
And as they throw to commercial, Connor is plucking a rose from the centerpiece and giving it to her and saying, "I want your number." He's giving us all the material to envision a beautiful love story between them.
I want a follow-up, honestly.
Exactly. We need a follow-up. We need an Instagram update. I did stalk this woman on Instagram. They do follow each other. And I want more. And yeah. On that note, I think we're going to take a brief break. Can you keep up? This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes. There's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or former Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
And it's time for Michael's hot seat.
I wrote in my notes as just a personal thought that I really don't think anyone on this show has ever been as great as Michael of a human. Like, he's so great.
Yeah.
I would also love to see him as The Bachelor.
Yes.
For that reason.
It makes me suspicious. There's gotta be something wrong.
Yeah, I know. But from what we've seen, I'm like, no one
I guess cares. That is always the problem. Every time we're like, this person seems great. It's like 3 months later, everyone's like,
old tweets.
Fuck you. He's horrible. But I was happy that Michael seemed like he was like, this was really difficult and really sad, but I grew from this and I stand by my decision.
He also points out that he still feels the same way about Katie. And that's when Caitlin asks, well, if she gave you another shot, would you? And he said, 100%. If love exists, it'll find a way.
I mean, man.
Yeah.
You know, this is just sorry, setting him bud. Up for like a brutal, another rejection.
Yeah. No, that was tough. Normally, that's an opportunity for people to say like, oh, you know, it was really hard, but I've moved ahead and I'm going to be okay. And kind of like forward looking. And he is very much still like, that door's wide open. Like, I haven't gone anywhere. And it made me think about how hard it is to date as a widowed parent, and how hard it is probably to pour that much time into building a new relationship. And then to have to, like, it's not like you're like a single, like, carefree person who has a lot of time to spend on the apps or like enjoying single life or moving forward. Like, that sunk cost is like really hard to let go of when time is at such a premium. Oh, poor Michael. But then we get a fun little interlude of the men trying to trash talk during an exercise on the bash ball date. I think we have a clip of this, which was actually one of my favorite moments in the history of The Bachelor.
Trey, you suck at dancing. You're an awful dancer.
Your backbone's made of jello.
Your eyes are blue like a urinal cake.
Where'd you get that shirt? The shirt store?
You look like a human is anamorphing into a leprechaun, got stuck in the middle, dog.
I don't know which one's more fake, your love for Katie or your smile.
The most endearing thing in the world is how bad these men are at trash talking. Like, I truly
love each other. They love each other so much. It's cute.
It's just a bunch of soft boys. And that's what I like to see.
There's something sort of funny about it, though, because it's like either it's that or it's them all just like viciously, like a pack of jackals, like converging on one wounded deer and being like, you know, like, you gotta get out of this house. You're a fake. You're a phony. And so, like, half the time you're like, oh, these saucy boys, they can't even make, like, in a joking game, they can't even make a real burn on each other. And at other moments, it's just, like, genuinely kind of, like, seemingly unprovoked viciousness. Like, you're like, this viciousness is not merited. So it's just, like, sometimes it feels, like, in these moments I love because I just, I feel like this is, like, a scene from, like, a Michael Schur show or something. It's just, like, very tender comedy. And then other scenes are more like Succession.
This was random, though. Did y'all feel like it was super random that they just showed this clip? I was like, oh, I guess they just have like nothing left from the actual men tell all. They're just going to throw in some clips from this date that was a month ago. But okay, it was funny. It was entertaining, but random.
Yeah, they definitely ran out of drama, especially they didn't have Mike P for a hot seat. And I think he was a gimme for a hot seat. I don't know what happened there. They didn't have Thomas for a hot seat. And what he had instead of a hot seat was pretty
tame,
limited
and limited
time-wise. Because doing it over Zoom is never that engaging.
Yeah, if he had been there, the men would have yelled at him for like a full hour.
Yes, yeah. For sure.
So,
but I actually, I don't know. I enjoyed this kind of a lot.
Me too.
I like getting to see more of the behind the scenes goofy stuff.
This is definitely more enjoyable. I was expecting Thomas to be there and we would have like had to deal with that. We had to deal with the Carl screaming. But aside from that, like you said, there wasn't much drama. And I kind of wish now going forward that they have the women and men tell all be more of like a behind the scenes look and like show us more bloopers and stuff like that. Because that's what we like to see more than people yelling at each other.
Exactly. I mean, Look, they even had time for a little interlude in which we got to see Jason proposed to Caitlin, which I was also adorable because Caitlin was so herself. Like, it was all bleeped out because she was so shocked she was being proposed to while Jason was ostensibly hosting her podcast with her, that she was just like cursing, and she had like the best reaction to how giant the diamond was.
That thing is giant.
It's huge. And I appreciated that she acknowledged that.
Yeah.
I loved when she realized the proposal was about to start and she said, I'm wearing a tequila shirt.
Oh my God, I died. It was so amazing. Good. I was like, Caitlin is truly so wonderfully herself. And I just loved kind of getting another glimpse at that. Like, the personality that you get on the show really does seem to track with who she is.
Oh yeah, for sure.
We also had a little throwback to the drag queen debate, where they talk about the WoWo challenge. And we learned that Michael A actually broke the WoWo challenge by the time of the drag queen date.
This makes me love him more again. I'm like, yes, we're seeing these sides of him. And he's just so funny when he's like, yep, I'm out of the game.
That is the sex positivity we crave. He's like, I like masturbating. I did masturbate. Cool. Come for me.
Yep.
Yeah. Katie comes on stage to the hot seat at this point in her extremely lime green dress and starts having her little catch-ups with the guys. Michael's like, thank you for understanding why I had to leave. And now I know that I could find love again because of you. And she says, thank you. I appreciate it. And then you can see that Michael is like comfortable with that. Like he's not going to bring up that his door is still open. So, of course, Tayshia and Caitlin are like, Michael said he would take you back if you wanted to try again. And she's like, no, no, thank you. Heart.
She's like, it was very clear that Katie came out there and was very warm. And there is a lot of like affection between her and these men. But she's also guarding a relationship. And we always can kind of see that shift. Because understandably, like she can't appear to be like too into anyone mm-hmm. that she said goodbye to. Like she has moved on.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were so complimentary to like Trey right? telling her he owes all his self-confidence now to her. She's a gem of a human. And Aaron's like, I'm always going to be in your corner. And that's when Katie accidentally says, well, thanks, Thomas, to Aaron. Everyone's like, cracks up.
Tayshia was like, Katie.
That was hilarious. And oh Aaron God. Jokingly runs away and but that was just like the most perfect mess up you could possibly have.
Also, I was like, that's so like there's so many names. They're talking about Thomas.
It's
like,
so rough, though, because like
it's so rough.
You really don't want to be mixing up two men of color, one of whom is not even present.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was not a great look for Katie. I like both felt for her because they were talking about Thomas in that moment. And like, of course, his name would be sort of front of mind. But
I think like it was clear to me that she immediately knew she had messed up and she knew that he was Aaron. It wasn't like she actually didn't know.
She clearly knows who he is, but like you don't, it's just.
It was very unfortunate. I was honestly surprised they didn't just like cut it.
Oh, yeah. I think they probably thought it came off cute, which I. And so Connor breaks the uncomfortable moment here by whipping out a ukulele. It's time for one more song from Connor, and this one is about bromance. The chorus is, the guys on this season have got me believing in bromance. And I think Connor would, you know, Connor seems to be like the cuddly best friend of every guy in the house. Like,
they love
he's like
him.
Their mascot. He is adored. Like, after he got kissed on stage, like, he was the center of like a
I've
group
never
hug
seen
as if he had
so
scored
much.
The winning goal.
So much enthusiasm about anything on the show as Connor getting made out with.
Yeah. He is clear. And you can see that too in the way that he defused the Hunter thing. Like few guys have enough capital with the whole group to get everyone to back off in the moment like that at Men Tell All. And he literally was just like, Connor's cool. He's with me. And they were all like, okay, well, we'll agree to disagree. Because Connor said so.
I love Connor. I do.
And this is when Katie addresses some of the drama. They talk about Carl, and she says, you know, you weren't giving me the information, the specifics I needed, so I had to let you go earlier than anticipated. Basically, she's That's like, I lot. Knew you weren't going to make it to the end.
Yeah, she basically says that. Like, she says, like, I put the other men over you because I knew it wasn't going to be us. And I was like, yeah, that seems fair.
And, it's like, she knew it wasn't him anyways. Like,
right.
Come it's on. Just always funny to me because the fiction of the show is that you need all that time and all those dates to figure it out. And then you find out sort of in a certain order that accords with the show. She's very comfortable breaking that fiction and just being like, I knew that you were not going to be the one at the end, but I did have to keep someone around. And I was like, it might as well be Carl. And then this happened. And I was like, might as well not be Carl. Yeah.
I know. I appreciated her candor.
Yeah.
And Carl is just like, I respect you. And I respect that. Like, also, no one is going to criticize Katie.
No. Also, like, she comes away with the conclusion that Carl was right, like, because of Thomas. And, you know, that he should feel vindicated by that. And I am unconvinced by that, but Katie's being generous here, perhaps.
I was going to say, I think she does a really good job of trying to find, like, the good in all of these men and sort of, like, affirm them and make them feel very seen. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of why they all seem to, like, really adore her.
Yeah. Do you think that Carl was done wrong? Like, that the guys all came after him and then sort of, in a way, carried on his same energy as a group?
I'm curious. Just, I feel like a lot of it was probably producers being like, Carl, you should definitely tell her this. Like, if you're worried, you should definitely tell her. And then maybe them telling the other guys, like, can you believe Carl did this? And that probably plays into it a lot. So, again, I think Katie said, oh, you were right about Thomas. I don't think he really had just Thomas in his mind. I think he was just going crazy. And then it just caused such a shitstorm. But obviously she wasn't going to pick him. And it's like, he was going to go anyways. It's fine. Everyone chill out.
And in a way, he was playing like the really long game because he had to know there was, I mean, surely just mathematically, there's someone else here who isn't that into Katie. I just have to wait and eventually I'll be vindicated long after I've been sent home. Caitlin then introduces Thomas, who is on video chat for a very brief version of a catch up.
Really got off easy here.
Can we just say he looked really hot?
I think Thomas is really attractive.
He's so hot.
He is hot, but, and this isn't his fault, but he has like a certain resemblance to Josh Murray, who I am repulsed by.
That's
and
funny.
So I struggle because I'm like, Thomas is definitely a better person than Josh and also hotter. But like the resemblance just makes me like swept out.
Yeah, I was comparing him to Josh Murray like a few weeks ago when the huge thing with Thomas on the episode happened. But now I feel bad for comparing him to Josh because besides the physical looks, I don't think...
Oh, no personality. Exactly, I want to be very clear. Yes. I don't...
I actually met him. We went to the same college. He's older than me, but he came into town with Andy years ago and I met them. Then I read her book and like everything started making sense.
He came
after me on Twitter last year. Yeah, so... During one of the debates, you probably know, is like a big Trumper. Mm-hmm. And he was tweeting like, oh, I wish this moderator like wasn't so biased. And I'm like, so I responded. A ton of people responded, but I couldn't keep my mouth shut. And I was like, are we watching the same thing? Because the moderator is just doing their job and Trump just like won't shut up, like going over his time. I said it like really nicely and you know, educated seeming. And he just like freaked out and was calling me a troll. And like, yeah, he like sent multiple responses and I just can't with that.
That tracks. I mean, it's easy to forget. Really, and I do often, I think, because I have the memory of a goldfish, how toxic and aggro bachelorette casting used to be. Mm-hmm. And I do think it's actually changed a lot. Like, not that there aren't sometimes exceptions, but I remember having some very unpleasant altercations on social and seeing some really unpleasant
very
altercations
different.
Unfold.
It is different.
Well, I think that that's exactly why even when these men are sort of like being vicious to one another, it's still so much tamer and less aggressive than it used to be that I like it that shift feels palpable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so much more just like, well, you know what, bro? Like, you don't really care for Katie the way that I do. I have a
right,
more
it's
soft
not like
and pure
I'm gonna
love for her.
Stand up and punch you in the face and then make like physical threats about cutting your limbs off like Chad. Yeah. Like, it used to be real dark.
Yeah, Chad is still scary.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
I do think that Thomas was kind of done wrong on the show. So
me too.
I think that there was some balancing of the scales by going easier on him.
True.
In the hot seat. Like, he was gone so hard at on the show by the time of his exit that I think that, like, it would be difficult for me to stomach them coming in and being like, and you're a monster.
Fuck you.
Like, he maybe kind of was not that genuine. There isn't firm evidence. And also, who really cares? Lots of people aren't that genuine on the show and they don't get humiliated the way he was. And Katie actually ends up apologizing for the way she sent him home.
Then we get some bloopers and we get Katie being like, hey, I have no regrets. My journey was awesome. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of where we end. Outside her face,
did you guys get the sense of excitement, though? She seemed very, and I know she can't give things away, but like, I feel like usually the lead is like, yeah, I'm so happy now. And she was just like, yep, I have no regrets and everything turned out great. And I don't know. It seemed, I was like, I'm confused. Is she with someone? Is she single? And she's just happy still being single. I'm looking forward to finding out, but.
I definitely see what you're saying, Kelly. And I think you're right. I don't really know quite how to read that because it could be, have so many causes of why her body language would be a certain way in that moment. But I do think it happens sometimes with bachelorettes. And I remember thinking that Andy's behavior was really like at Mental Health After the Final Rose was very muted in a certain way. And I think sometimes it can come from a desire to like protect the relationship.
Yeah.
That, you know, just like keeping things in more.
That's sort of how I read it, that it was some sort of like trepidation about how exhausting it's going to be to relive the last few episodes. Because Ooh. We've seen these clips teased over and over again that have not come up yet of her slamming doors, saying, book my ticket. I'm out. Like, book my ticket home. She's in the bathroom sobbing, like, Greg is slamming doors. I mean, clearly something very big is going to happen still. And so I wondered if she was just like, let's just get to the end, but I'm not exactly excited to go through the whole thing again.
We'll just have to wait and see. It looks like it's going to be hometowns next week and then the finale.
Yep.
So yeah. Certainly... Oh, her something's guys have going awry. Been winnowed down, but yeah, something's clearly going awry.
Hopefully it's next week we get to see, and then maybe everything will clear up for the finale.
Like the clouds like a parting.
Kelly, that is very optimistic. I'm going to guess that they are going to start whatever thing happens in one episode and then drag it all the way out till midway through the next
episode. My favorite thing is when they do half of a fight. And then they have to begin the next episode with a flashback to, like, the whole fight from last episode. And then they're like, and now here's the rest of the fight.
That is 100% what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to watch as much fight as possible.
Now it's time for Love to See It, Hate to See It. Let's start off with Love to See It.
I think I'm going to have to say the thing I love to see the most was the bad trash talk reel. I just want to see more personality, more moments of unrehearsed comedy on this show. And that was a delightful, refreshing moment in the midst of Men Tell All for me.
I agree. Give us more of that. And on that note, we also love to see the bromance in general. And even, I almost hate to admit it, I even enjoyed the bromance song, even though, as a rule, I think men should never sing original songs or read their poetry. But I love Connor so much, ever. I'll give him a pass.
Men can never sing original songs?
Not on this show.
Oh, gotcha. No, that's fair.
Sorry, not in life. Not in life, specifically. I was like,
Emma,
on The Bachelorette.
Out strong against male singer-songwriter.
You know me, Claire. I have my strong opinion.
Connor's little ditties were not exactly my cup of tea, but I love that he embraces them. He knows they're corny, but he's okay with that. And he just keeps going forward, living his life with confidence. I wish I could be more like Connor. And, you know, maybe in pursuit of that, I will later text my exes and ask them if I'm a good kisser. And now, I think... for the last love to see it, Michael prioritizing his son and what his son needed, and Katie respecting that decision. I feel complicated about this. I actually hated to see this. but I do think that they both really had no choice.
We hated to see that it happened this way. We loved to see the generosity and kindness and sensitivity that it was handled with.
for Hate to See It, Andrew's English accent back when he sees Katie on stage at Mentel All. I need him to not. That's all I ask. Just don't. Just, you know, your normal voice is more than good enough. I choose that voice. I choose it 100%.
We also hate to see the return of the Right Reasons Police. I mean, come on, guys. James and Trey are just out here refusing to admit that they're wrong about Hunter. We hate to see it. We also hate to see, which is, you know, connected to the Right Reasons Police, the invocation of fake news and witch hunt by Brendan and Carl. Hate to see it. Put that language to bed. Just goodbye.
It's not 2017. Like, you're not blogging.
No.
Like, put it away. And that brings us to our sex positivity rating for this episode, which, you know, you would think that there wouldn't be that much opportunity to be sex positive in Mentel All. But you would be wrong. I mean, we revisited the Whoa Whoa challenge and Michael's inability to adhere to it. We talked about stamina and whether Michael has it or doesn't. I mean, they were pretty giggly during this, but like they didn't seem embarrassed.
No.
And then we had actually on stage during the Mentel All an impromptu onstage makeout between strangers. I mean, I don't see how you can get
and
much more sex positive.
The other men were literally cheering this on.
Yeah.
I mean, just the group support. It was as sex positive, you know, as we've seen.
Yeah.
Should we give this one an 8, Claire?
I'm going to give this an 8. I loved the enthusiasm for that stranger makeout at the end. It was really positive and uplifting.
That is the energy. We hope, you know, that we can just ride into the rest of the season. And on that note, that's it for Love to See It with Emma and Claire. Thanks to our guest, Kelly Johns. Follow her on Twitter at Kelly M. Johns and on Instagram at Kel Johns.
Love to See It is produced by us, Claire Fallon and Emma Gray, and Stitcher. This episode was edited by Harry Huggins. Our theme music is by Tamar Haviv, and our art is by Celine Chang. Josephine Martirana is our executive producer.
If you like the show, please rate us 5 stars and leave a review. And more importantly, tell all your friends who used to listen to us as Here to Make Friends. Help us get the word out about our new name.
If you want to get in touch, you can email us at claireandemmapod@gmail.com with your questions and voice memos. We might even feature you in an upcoming mailbag.
You can also find us on Twitter at Love to See It Pod and on Instagram at Claire and Emma Pod. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Emma Lady Rose.
And I'm at Claire E. Fallon. We'll be back next week for Katie's Hometowns. Can you keep up? I like love it.
Stitcher.